This morning, if you have a Bible, I want to start in, I know sometimes we don't bring a Bible to church because I've got it all for you, but it's always good to bring a Bible to church. Amen. Thanks for that exciting response. Like four people who's got a Bible, and the rest of them are like, whoa. It's always good because, and let me tell you one of the greatest stories I could ever share with you about a Bible. I was a youth pastor for several years. That's what I did. At a large church, and one Wednesday night we had our Sunday night. We had youth group on Sunday night, and on that Sunday night we had a young person come. We had a great service, and that young person gave their life to the Lord. One of the most exciting life changes. I'm talking radical change, not like, you know, change like sometimes we see people experience where it's changed for a moment. This was a radical change. And so afterwards I was visiting, hey, you got a Bible? Yeah, I got a Bible. Man, so on fire for God. And the next Sunday night shows up to youth group, had one of those family coffee table Bibles. You know what I'm talking about? He's so excited, wasn't bothered by that at all. And I thought, what a great example of someone who didn't care. And that was the Bible he had. And we got him a Bible that he could actually carry instead of the one he had to lug around. And so it was so awesome to see that. And I always think it's good, if you got a Bible, bring it, highlight it, mark it up. It's not disgraceful to the Lord. God loves it when you highlighting things that he's speaking to your heart. Amen? And so, but if you don't have one, no guilt trip there. I do have them on the screen for you today. I want to start a new series, and I want to tag it to the last series we did. We just talked about vision, and today I want to talk about making a difference. I want to talk about how that every person on the planet, and I'll say this in the message, but I want to say it now, and that is, if you're breathing today, if you're still on the planet, there's a reason why you're still here. Even if you say, well, I'm a Christian, if the goal was just to be a Christian and then go to heaven, then when we baptize you, we'll just hold you under until all the bubbles go away, and then we'll throw our hands in the air and we'll say, oh, praise God, another one went to heaven. But we don't do that. We bring you back up because, and listen, if God is still, if you're still breath in your lungs, then that means God still has a reason for you to be on the planet. See, I'm still breathing today. I may not feel very well, but I'm still breathing today. So I know there's a reason why I'm here. There's a reason. God's not finished. Let's say it like that. God's not finished with me. And God's not finished with you. I don't care how surface you may be in your walk with God, or even in the church, or maybe where you're like, you know, I'm not going to totally connect. Listen, God still has a plan for you. No matter where you are in life, God still has a plan for you. Whether it may be at your work, or whether it may be at school, or at when you head off to college, somewhere down the line, and it may be tomorrow, it may be a year from now, maybe 10 years from now, God has something in store for you to do. Are you with me? Because faith isn't enough just to have it. The Bible says faith without something doing with it, or action, corresponding action, it's actually dead. So I want to talk about making a difference. I want to talk about it in a way that I think, as we jump into the series, I think it's countercultural. I think the culture, I think this is one of those, let me say this, I think this is one of those series that's going to challenge us as a Christian in a non-Christian society. Yeah, I think I said that right. And challenge us on what God expects from us, not only individually, but as a church, as a whole, and in our world. What level, let me say it like this. John Maxwell uses the word influence. Influence is simply the word leadership, you're right. And influence is simply leadership. If you have no influence, you'll have no leadership. If you have no influence, you have no followers. He that seeks to lead, has no followers, just takes a walk. So the idea is that we gain influence in our world. In our culture, if it's going to change, if things in your life are going to change, then you're going to have some influence. You're going to have some leadership in those areas. Everybody with me? And this is true. The responsibility of the church is to help the culture that is non-Christian or without God or in darkness. It is to influence it with light. And that's our goal. And let me say, I personally think that what is happening in the culture, both church and world, is happening. And here's going to be a little stinging challenge here. It's happening on our watch. It is. What's taking place. So if you're griping about society just and you're a believer, just remember it's taking place on your watch. And we have to do, you say, well, Pastor, what can I do? Well, I'll talk about that a little bit today. And then next week we're going to talk about what or where. And I think God always wanted to empower the church to do something about what's taking place today. I do. To be an influence in the world, to make a difference in the world we live in. And remember this, I think when we start talking about this in the church as a whole, I think a lot of times people go, well, I can't go to this place or I can't go over there. I don't think God's talking about that at all. I think when he said be salt and light, I think he was talking about in your very area. When you go home, be salt there. When you go to work, be salt there. Is that okay? I don't think God ever intended for you to go, okay, I'm going to go reach the uttermost parts of the world without first reaching your Judea. Okay? Without first taking care of. I'll give you a scripture, a couple of scriptures. First one is Jeremiah 15:19 says, you are to influence them. And here, every young person needs to hear this before you go back to school. You are to influence them. Don't let them influence you. And this is God speaking to Jeremiah because he also said, hey, don't reflect the faces of the people you're going to go minister to. Have you ever get around people and their face is like, right? And you're like, oh, and by the time you finish, you're like that. And God is speaking to Jeremiah. He's like, hey, don't let them influence you. You influence them. And then the second one in the New Testament, say that's Old Testament. You're like, Pastor, that's Old Testament. Let's get the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 through 16, says, the area of influence God assigned to us is to reach you. And I can stop there. I'll kind of come back to this. But our hope is that as your faith increases, our area of influence may be greatly enlarged so that we may preach the gospel way beyond where we're at now. And we're seeing that as a church. And what Paul is saying is God gave me an assignment to reach you guys. And if I was to personalize that, I'm going to say that for me, I'll use myself here, it would be the same that nearly 19 years ago, August 1st will be 19 years for Harvest Church. Isn't that awesome? That God gave me an assignment to reach people, to reach you, to help reach people in the city of Sioux Falls and the surrounding areas, that God gave me that assignment. And sitting down with different ones and some of the leadership at that time, that was our goal. Let's go reach people. Let's go help people obtain the highest level of life we possibly can. Not be jealous, not be money-oriented, not be all this. Let God just bless it as He wills it. And that was our heart. But our goal was, as Paul says, my assignment was to reach you. My assignment as pastor is to reach people. And while I pray that you love Harvest Church, which I do, I hope you do too, and that you're impacted by the ministry here at Harvest Church, that's not where I want to stop it. I love it that people come up to me, I love you, Pastor. I don't hear that often, but I love that when people come and say, hey, I love Harvest Church. I love what it's done in my life. I love what's happening. I love that. But that's not the whole hope that I have. I, like Paul, our hope is that your faith doesn't just plateau, but it increases, that you obtain the highest level of life that God called you to. Are you with me? If God called you, if you said, God called me to be a millionaire, and I'm going to use money just for a moment, but you stay in a level of poverty, then you're not living at the highest level God called you to. Does that make sense? Same thing. If God called you to a great family or raising great children or being a caregiver or working a great job, but you stay in this level that's not any of that, then you're not at that place where God wants you to be. And that's my hope. That's my goal. That's my prayer, is that you greatly enlarge in your faith, that you keep going, that you don't just stay down in that low place. And while I pray you love Harvest Church, let's believe that we're raising up to the highest level possible. And Paul says the hope is that our faith gets bigger, meaning that your family gets better. right? Your kids are better. Your heart is better. Your life is better. We all like you better. That's the prayer. That's what it is all about. I know that last part's like, I shouldn't have said that. But it's true. It's true. Is that as your life gets better, we like you better. And that's the goal that Paul's saying, is that we hope that your faith increases, that things get better in your life. And you may not be where you want to be, right? What's the old adage? I may not be where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be, right? That's where we're at as the church, and because our faith is increasing. But it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there either. So those are two things. But then he goes on, he says, I greatly enlarge so that we may go beyond just our little sphere. That our hope that your faith has grown, but that your area of influence enlarges is what he's actually saying. So Paul says, I want to reach you, but then I want you to grow in that faith and then let God work in you. But don't stop there. So that together our influence is enlarged. And that's what's happening here at Harvest Church. It is. So that we can share good news in a place. You know why we bought land out on 69th Street? And if you don't know, I'll tell you again, we bought land on 69th Street, just to south, right between Sycamore and Southeastern. It's only 2.25 miles from here, so you don't have to drive any further to. But if you feel the need to go, man, Pastor, that's the long ways, we'll come pick you up. We want people to understand that we want to see people. But you know why we bought land? You know why we're going to build millions of dollars in facility? It's not so that we can show off. It is so that we can reach people. It's that our influence increases in Sioux Falls. So I never want it to be said, well, Harvest Church was to close their doors, no one would miss them. Besides the people that are here today. I want it to continue. That's part of the vision. This is the hope, God's hope, dream. And this is the reason why we exist as a church. And God gave me an assignment. I reached you, if you would, if as the pastor. I'm not saying that as a bragging. Together, we're going to grow. We're getting better. Our faith is increasing. What happens after that? The influence increases. That's what people talk about numbers. I don't want to hear about numbers. Nickels and noses. I understand. I'm not trying to be a numbers guy, but you know what numbers represent? Souls, lives. That we're changing hearts, that we're seeing people get saved. Lives come out of darkness into light. And I like that. So that collectively, our influence as a church would grow. That's our idea. See, God gave me an assignment. We reach out. Together, we're all growing, getting better. But there is a so that. There is a reason. There is a so that. And so that, collectively, our influence as a church continues to grow bigger. Now, let me shift gears and tell you a little story. In 1975, Lauren Cunningham, he was the founder of YWAM, and Bill Bright, who is the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, happened to be in the same city in 1975, and they decided, hey, let's get together for lunch. Well, the night before, God started speaking to Lauren, and God woke him up in the middle of the night, and Lauren began to write this stuff down, that all these things that God was showing him. And all of a sudden, the next day, they met for lunch, and Lauren says to Bill, hey, I got to tell you something. I got to share it with somebody. God started showing me these things, and this is some of the things that God showed me. And as he was saying it, Bill says, hey, God woke me up in the middle of the night and showed me some things. When they pulled out the piece of paper that they had written the vision down, they were identical. Identical. I want to give you those. I want to give you what they wrote down here in just a second. But they actually called it, the vision was, is that society as a whole is influenced or impacted by what they called at the time seven mountains. There's seven mountains in our society. I'm going to give you these seven so you can write them down. You can kind of see how, and they'll make sense to you. But I call them, or if you would, there's seven principalities, seven principles that affect our society as a whole. And that six of the seven are actually influenced by the kingdom of darkness, and that's why our culture is being influenced the way it is. And they believe that if God showed up and was to empower these seven areas, that it would make a difference, that we would actually make a difference in not just cities, but we'd make a difference in nations, that the world would change, that the culture would change, and nations would change, and we'd somehow get these seven spheres of influence and let the kingdom of God be reestablished in them, that life would change. And I actually think that's very true. And I want to give them to you this morning and talk about them, because I really believe that God wants to revive this thought. 1975, it didn't work. That what they started out to do did not work. Now, YWAM and Campus Crusade is still very popular, very big in our in America, and they go. YWAM is youth with a mission, and they go all over the world, taking Christ to every nation. And Campus Crusade, you know, you can kind of figure out what that is for Christ. Local campuses, they're all over the nation, but their idea of influencing fell short. But I actually believe, and this is why I put this together, this short series, is that I think God wants to revive some of this. This is something I've been thinking about, something I've been praying about, and I'll kind of share that with you as we go through it. This plays into what we talked about, again, in the last series about our vision as Harvest Church, what it's all about. So there are seven streams of influence. Let me give them to you. The first one is the church. The church. I think. We'll keep going. The church, there it is. We got several up there right now. So the church is a major influence in society, right? Or should be. It has impacted our culture, and now what we're seeing is a slowdown of the church in that impact. And it's happening. Maybe not across the world, where 38,000 Chinese people are giving their life in China, are giving their life to the Lord weekly, 38,000. That's incredible. But in America, we're seeing a major slowdown. And part of that reason is the church's impact. Because the belief of many is this, and here's the reason I think it's slowing down, is that when you walk up to many Christian people today, and even because we've been influenced by secular society saying, you're not supposed to be public with your faith. Your faith is a private thing, and I disagree with that. God never had any secret service people for Him. God doesn't have, you're not a secret agent. You're not a spy for the kingdom of God. You are simply a mouthpiece, a salt, a light, something that is illuminated in darkness. So every time that you start thinking, well, you know, my faith is very private, then you are believing the lie of the enemy that's keeping you from making a difference in our society. And listen, if you go too far with that out in the public, you will bring it home with you. And then all of a sudden, in the house, you'll become private. Everybody in the house is private with their Christianity. And I don't think God ever intended that. Wow, you guys are, thank you. I feel good now. I'm preaching. You guys are with me. I can hear it. See, religion is something that's supposed to maintain privacy. And now we have a generation of people that love God, and yet they believe that faith should be separate from everything else. You know why we have separation of church and state? Do you understand the whole principle behind that? It was never, never to limit church inside of government. It was only to limit government's rule inside the church. And yet we've reversed that now because, oh, there's separation of church and state. And the idea of that was never to limit church inside of government. It was only to limit government inside the church. And yet we've reversed it now. And government's saying, oh, watch out, keep that separate. And I think God is saying, hey, we need this influence in everything. Now, we'll get to that in a moment. The second one is government. Obviously, you got that. Government has a big impact in our society today. Right? Are you realizing that? I mean, I hope you're realizing that. We're seeing that constantly right now. Everybody's one to the other, Democrat, Republican, we're up in arms about who's elected, who isn't elected, we're all of this, and it has this great impact. I won't just tell you it has a great impact in a positive, negative way just in how decisions are made. I would have you to believe that it's also an impact negatively on your attitude or positively on your attitude. right? If you sit and watch constant negative news, CNN, all day long, I promise you that it will have an effect on your life, right? And so government's influencing. And what's big influence? They make policies. Whether we agree or disagree with them, it's influencing our society, which we all get. Number three, the third one is arts and entertainment. They believe that arts and entertainment, that's simply, and I think this is probably one of the biggest in our culture today. This is sports, movies, fashion, all have an influence on our society. You ever notice that? What you wear or what you're not wearing today compared to what you should be wearing today. Right? Oh, you don't have on that? Oh, we don't even talk to you anymore. Or movies. Have you been to this movie? Have you seen this movie? And that influences. Right? We have video games influencing. Get off of that, Pastor. Probably a huge impact, though. All right, let's move forward. The fourth one is education. I think all of us know how education is influencing the minds of young people and people today, especially young people, if you would. But did you realize that Harvard, Yale, all the Ivy League schools 100 years ago were all Christian-based? Did you know that? And now they set the tone for swinging the pendulum, and the paradigm shift has been all the way to liberal. And inviting anything ungodly in. They've now set that, and all other colleges are following suit. But yet that was a Christian-based idea. The fifth one is business. Business shapes and impacts our economy. If you own a business, you understand that. If you are leading a business, you understand how that business impacts the financial means and how things go in our economy. The sixth one is media. Big one. Huge right now. We have 24-hour news stations. It's crazy. Ron Burgundy came up with that idea. I'm just kidding. Some of you are like, who's that? Look him up. Great newscaster. But we are influenced by, we've got 24/7. I mean, I can wake up in the morning at times at 5 o'clock in the morning and our Fox is fixed on our television. And I have to turn it. Because I would rather watch a root canal than to watch that. Because to me, it's just constant. And people say, well, yeah, but we're getting the positive side. And I'm like, dude, it's one or the other. I always hear about balance. And I'm like, okay, where's that at? But, okay, if you're a Fox lover, I'm so sorry. I apologize. I'll repent later. I know they're close to heaven. They'll be in heaven too. Media has a big deal. Radio, internet. Internet's affecting our society. And then the last one is family. It was said, they actually wrote this in the note. I actually have a copy of their vision. And at the bottom of it, it says that if you were to look it up in history, anytime the family was strong in faith, God-fearing, and together, society was strong. Anytime the family started to crumble, society crumbled. And they showed this history of that. They had written down examples of how when the family was strong, how everything was strong. And how when the family crumbled, society crumbled. So here's the thought that they had, that if those seven areas become infected or affected, if they affect culture, let's say it like that, then it's very important that those areas be strengthened and empowered by God. Because if those are the seven areas, seven mountains, if you would, that affect our culture, it only makes sense to infect those areas, to inject them with something. And the church, in my opinion, plays a part. Now, in my heart, let me say this, when I look around the room, I know, and part of this, the reason I'm sharing this is I went to several open houses this year for graduation, several. And it seemed like everyone I'd stop at, I saw great influence. lots of people show up. Great influence, great impact. And I look around the room and I think, how many business people, how many people involved in sports, how many young people involved in education, all the different things that we have such influence in areas we go. What are you doing with it? I told you I was going to challenge you a little bit. What are you doing with it? Now, and one of the things I disagree with the two guys about, okay, and I'm not trying to disagree with God, with their vision, but one of the things I kind of just take issue with is I actually believe there's six mountains, and the seventh thing, so I'm going to say it like this, I think there's six things, and the church is the hub, those things are the spokes. I think the church influences all of those things. Because Jesus said, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to build my church, not my government, not my business, not media. I'll build the church. And out of the church, everything's going to flow. Everything. Are you with me? Now, I first believe, now I want to back up even further than that and do a little teaching here just for a moment. I actually believe you can't get church unless you first get family. So sometimes people say, well, the church started first and then that impacts your family. No, I disagree. I believe the church started, or the family started first, and that impacts church. You say, where do you get that at? Well, Genesis chapter 1 and 2, God created family way before he ever created the church. Okay, yeah, that's deep. I know. Wow. Pastor, we're not following with you. All right. But once the church, the local church, the hope of the world, that's what the Bible says, the local church, the hope of the world, takes its place, its rightful place, not saying, hey, everybody, come over here, believe like us, talk like us, act like us. That's garbage. Thanks. But when the local church stops saying, hey, you got to come over here and do like we do, act like we do, speak what we speak. No. What we should be doing is going into culture and blessing people. Loving people, serving people. We'll make a difference only. Listen, you don't make a difference in people when you just invite them. You make a difference in people when you have a relationship with them. That's how you change lives. It's relationship. And it's influence. Influence is leadership. Let me change that earlier. Let me change that. This just came to my head. The only way the church is the local church is the hope of the world, is if the local church is mobilized. What I mean by that is if the local church is doing something. Not just, oh, pastors, preach us another word. We're going to go home. We'll be encouraged. We'll live good for ourselves. It's our four. No more. Let everybody else go to hell. No, I think when the local church is mobilized, serving people. So maybe it's time that we go into our business. Maybe it's time we go into our place of work and just bless people or encourage people. You don't have to preach Jesus to people. I think that's where people get off. Well, pastor, you want us to be a witness? I'll get fired for talking about it. I don't want you to go do that. All I want you to do is just go be a blessing. Love people. Right? Business, sports, politics, whatever it is that you're involved in, be an influence. And we allow the principles of Jesus to flow out of us to impact others. Only then is the church the hope of the world. Jesus said it like this, Matthew chapter 5. He says, you are like salt for the whole human race. What does salt do? We'll just make it, let's dumb it down. It just makes things better. I'm a saltaholic. I am. I'll just be honest with you. I salt everything. Everything. I salt salt. All right? I mean, if it's, how many like watermelon? You like watermelon in the summer? Oh, yeah. I love, but I have to salt it. If I get popcorn, I love popcorn, right? I dump a half a deal of salt on it. My wife will always complain it's too salty. My kids will say that, but I love it. Saltier the better, right? I could drink ocean water. Salt just simply makes things better. That's it. We take our influence, we bless others, not condemn others, turn or burn. That doesn't work anymore. Is bless them, make them better. You're not to go in and say, hey, we need to preach in here because all you guys are going to hell. That's not our goal. I've been in churches like that. It didn't work. We need to come in into a business and say, hey, how can we help you? One of the things that we did with our Kids in Coats outreach was we heard of Kello Land was giving away coats. We thought, let's talk to them and let's see how we could help them. It wasn't, hey, we got this kids and coats thing. We'll come show you how to do it, how it's supposed to be done. No, it was, how can we partner together to make a bigger impact? That was our goal. See, I never thought, hey, I'll start Kids and Coats, and with the thought of I'll invade your world. It was simply to help make an impact in people's lives. And literally, all it was to give a free gift, just like Jesus gave a free gift of salvation. All it was an example. We started with that. We're just going to come, we're going to give you a free coat, no strings attached, to show you that God loves you with no strings attached. That was our goal. Now we've started making an impact with it. Every year we make more and more of an impact. And we give away. It wasn't, hey, come, now you come do our deal that we've given you something. See, there's no strings in here. Just like to get out of Egypt, right? To get out of Egypt, there was no strings. It was just, hey, come follow me, we're going to go. That was their salvation. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, it goes on to say in that same passage, he says, you are light, let your light shine so that others will see the good that you do. Actually, we'll give praise to the Father in heaven. Next few weeks, I want to talk about how we can make a difference in the area we live for the kingdom's sake. So today, let me lay a foundation. I want to give you three questions, and I'm going to close. I want to answer three questions, if you would. Simply three questions. And these are three administrative questions, so you know what that means, just like why, what, where, all that good stuff. So I want to talk a little bit about that. And the first one is why. Why should we make a difference? Because I hear that a lot. Why do I need to do anything? Why should I give? Why should I be involved? Why should I serve? Why should I do this? And the answer is simply because God loves it when you do. God likes it when you love others. Let me say it like this. God loves it when you love his other kids. Right? God loves it when you love his other kids, the ones that are rebellious. I really think this is for someone here that you need to hear this. God loves the whole thing. He does. He's not just, I think sometimes we think God loves the people. He loves us that come to church. Long, you know, God really loves us. Those other people, man. God, those hellions, man, when they get it together, then he'll love them too. Did you realize, I want to say it like this, that God actually, the way he views, the way he looks down, in my opinion, okay, is that he views the church like this. But his eyes are focused on the world. Jesus said it like this. God the Father, or I, Jesus, he says, I'll leave 99 in the church that know me to go find one outside the church that doesn't. That's what he loves. That's what he loves. I'll leave 99 to go find one. If you've ever lost something, how many of you have ever lost a wallet? Or how many of you have ever lost money? Or maybe you lost your purse, or you couldn't find your car keys. Something of that value, right? Something of high value. And all of you are like, I see smiling, you're like, man, that just happened yesterday. All right? And so something of value. When you lose something, you do not glory in what you have. Matter of fact, the worst person in the world is the guy that comes up to you and says, well, just thank God you have your health. I just lost my car keys. Right? You don't want to hear, well, just thank God you got another, it's going to cost me $200 to get a new, remote thing, and I'm going to have to, all that stuff. And so you don't go, oh, thank God I've got another car. Right? You wouldn't do that with your kids. Well, I lost a kid. I got two more at home, thank God. Right? You wouldn't do that. And you don't want to hear that because you don't glory in what you have. You think about what you don't have. That's your mind is focused on that. Your mind is focused. In fact, you tend to bless those who come around you to help you look for what you have lost. God is the same way. Right? If somebody come around you and you said, hey man, I lost this, and they just start looking with you. There's a parable in the Bible that three times, lost coin, lost son, right? Yeah, all these different things where he's talking about what he's lost, and she tears, the widow who lost the money, she tears up the whole place looking for this valuable thing. Why? Because she's not glorying what she's got. She's aching over what she has lost. And God's the same way. But all of a sudden now, a group of people come in and say, we'll help you find it. You think God's not going to go, hey, I'm going to bless those people. Because you would, right? They help you find it. They restore something that was valuable to you. You're like, hey, man, let me take you to lunch. Let's go do some. Hey, I appreciate that. That's what God is all about. I'm going to tell you this. You want to love somebody. You want to really love somebody. Then love what they love. Right? You say, well, in your relationship, in your marriage, in your family, in your friendships, in your children, you want to love somebody, really love somebody, then love what they love. Well, Pastor, I hate honey. My husband loves honey. My wife will come and encourage me when I don't shoot a deer. Oh, you'll get it next time. I don't glory in that, right? If I lost one. I want to come out in the woods and help me find it. No, I'm just kidding. But I make the point just saying, hey, loving something someone loves, that's the same thing God. God loves lost people. What do you love? What do you love? God loves the world. God so loved the world. See, we're getting to this point where the world is so crooked. And God says, yeah, it is, but I love the world. Hebrews 13:16 says, don't forget to do good things for others and to share what you have with them. These are the kinds of sacrifices that God loves. Now, that's the first reason why. Let me give you another reason. So the first reason is God loves it. The second reason is because it's your destiny. It's your destiny. If you're still breathing air, you're still on the planet, I mean, God isn't done with you yet. And I said that earlier. I'll say it again. You still have something to do. And I don't just mean hold down a job or make some money. You have an assignment to do. Ephesians chapter 2, I'll prove it to you. It says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared way before you were ever even born. God had the assignment, created you to fulfill it. If that wasn't true, then when you got saved, you'd just been taken from the earth. But he left you here for a reason. I believe it's to be salt and light. So, why don't we? Why don't we do it? I'm going to give this statement that God gave me this morning, and I wrote it down. Angie put it in the notes already, but and that is that here, this is the case, is that we're always in a hurry. Hurry is the thief of making a difference. It is. Slow down. Slow down. I'm teaching myself now. Did you realize that there could be people on your very road today that all they need was just, hey, you're doing a good job. Or a hug. Encouraging word, maybe a prayer. There are people all around us at all times that just need something. I've tried to realize that every time I go anywhere or do anything that, you know what, the person who just threw the food out the window and took my money, even though they were the devil, trying to realize that maybe something is deeper there. The older I get, the younger I was, is you're an idiot. I still use that word a lot, but I'm learning. Right? My kids will say that's true. Second question is this. Where do I make a difference? Where do I make a difference? And this is the best one, I think. God's plan is for you to change the world, what everyone just... And here's the thing. I think sometimes we think, oh, God wants us to change the world. No, God just wants you to change your world. Change your world. And matter of fact, if you change your world, it will change the world. If everyone changed their own sphere of influence. And next week I want to help you find what it is that you're responsible for. What it is that you're called to. Because all of us have a sphere of influence, a sphere of leadership. And God will never take you outside that sphere of influence and make a difference. Listen, sometimes people say, well, Pastor, I just never want to do that because what if God called me to Zimbabwe? Okay, God is never going to call you to do something that He first doesn't give you the gifting for and the passion to do it. Ever. God, He's a Father. He's never going to say, I want you to go do this without first giving you the gifting and the passion for it. Exodus chapter 4, verse 2 said that the Lord spoke to Moses, what do you got in your hand? See, I think sometimes we think we got to do all these things. And Moses simply, all it was is that, what do you have? What's in you? What's your passion? What's your gifting? What do you got in your hand? And the Bible says that he said, I got a staff. He throws it down, and we all know. And the staff become a very important part of the entire story of Moses and his life. That's the message. God just wants you to take the area that you're already in and do some good. Do some good. When you're at home, do good there. So that when you leave home, you go to work, you do good there. When you leave today, here's one. When you leave today and you go to lunch together, right? Do good there. Do good there. Well, how do I do good? How about bless the waitress, that single mom working the job, or the young student going to college? How about bless them? Leave a gigante tip. You know what gigante means? Giant. Are you like, Pastor, you're just meddling in our money. Okay. Just give it here and we'll leave her a tip. All I'm saying is that do good wherever you are. That's all God's ask. He doesn't want you to do good in Zimbabwe. He wants you to do good here. Just right here. Galatians 6:4, make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you've been given, and then sink yourself into that. Do good there. All right. Why? Why? Because God loves it. God loves it, and it's your destiny. Where? Wherever you find yourself at. And then the last one, how? How? How can I make a difference? How do you make a difference? And I want to close with this as Justin comes. In Proverbs 3, verse 27 says, never walk away from someone who deserves help. Your hand is God's hand for that person. Never tell your neighbor to wait until tomorrow if you can help them now. Let me give you two things to write down before you go. And now you say, how do you do it? Number one, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Be sensitive. What is God saying? And then number two, find a need and fill it. Find a hurt and heal it. I'll close with this last quote. St. Francis of Assisi says this, preach the gospel and if necessary, use words. All that simply is saying is your life is an example. Your life is the example. How do you make a difference? You start right where you're at with what you got in your hand. That's it. I hear this a lot. People say, man, if I was to become a millionaire, boy, I'd really make a difference. You know what? If you won't make a difference now, you won't make a difference then. Just start where you're at. Just start where you're at. But the biggest difference is the one that God wants to make in you. The one that God wants to make in you. And that's what I want to close with today. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes just for a minute before we leave. Make a difference. I've always believed that you can't really go make a difference until He's made a difference in you. So just for the next 30 seconds, I ask you this question. Is He the Lord of your life?